closer.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 6, episode 50. It's the big 50.
Wow.
Yeah. 50. That's right. This is the 50th episode of 2021. Can you believe that we're halfway through the year? I don't know if it's halfway through the year. Maybe we're past halfway through the year.
We're past halfway.
Yeah, I guess so, since it's the eighth month.
Yeah.
And we're not counting the presents.
No, we're not. So. Well, they're not numbered, so.
Right.
Steph has fancy new headphone.
It's the same ones that I know. I've been wearing these ones.
Yeah, you wanted your hair to look good. And
well, you know what I hate is when I put the headphones on, you know, when you use the virtual background, then I have like this hoblob on the top of my head.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm tired of.
Hoblob.
Yeah.
The VR gap.
Yeah, I don't like it. So I was
VR
like,
VR gap. That should be the name of the show. There we go, VR gap.
I want a tighter gap.
I like my virtual reality to have a nice tight gap.
Right.
Episode 50 is where I'm going to do my Jeffrey Toobin impersonation.
All right, let's hear it.
No, it's a visual thing you have to
see. Oh, yeah. Well, so this show is going to be out if you're listening the day it comes out and we're watching it. What is it going to be, the 13th or 14th? The 14th, correct?
Yeah, because it's Friday the 13th this weekend.
Oh, ooh, I hope we live.
Mm-hmm. The 14th.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Oh yeah,
it is a great movie.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So next week is the 21st, and we have already recorded that show. That'll be our annual Dragon Con show featuring Dan Carroll and Jamie Reeves. So we had a lot of fun recording that this week, and we talk about all things Dragon Con, all the things you need to know. So make sure that you've got that on your calendar. Also, already out on the Radio Labyrinth Presents feed, we have an interview with Maka Puhatu from Wellington Paranormal. And boy, that was a lot of fun. He was really cool with us, and I should have left the thing recording. Next time I will. In fact, from now on, I'm not going to stop recording until everybody leaves the room, because we had this really awesome discussion afterwards that no one will ever get to hear. Aren't you glad I told you?
Basically, it was like 20 minutes of Macca trying to teach Tim how to do a New Zealand accent.
Yes, because I didn't know how to do it, you know. Cheese. Of course, go ahead.
Did it help?
No, not really. Not really. I haven't really practiced all that much, so that's true. But that was a fun interview. And then this coming Wednesday, which would be the 18th, we have a really cool interview that Jeff and I did, and also Dustin, Wesley Ure, and Kathy Coleman from Land of the Lost. Now that was the shit. That was a lot of fun, and they were really generous with their time. They are going to be appearing at Dragon Con September 2nd through the 6th, and they went on and they did a live Instagram show with Sid Croft from Sid and Marty Croft, and they talked about the fact that I'm going to show Gilbert Land of the Lost when I don't think it'll scare him. So I have to be maybe 4 or 5 years old, but it is a great show, Land of the Lost, and if you remember it from your childhood like we do, you'll enjoy the interview. There, you know, we had all these great questions, and Jeff put together a nice sheet, but we ended up just having a regular old conversation. They answered most of the questions, but they were just so much fun to talk to, and they seemed to be in a very happy mood. So,
and they had to go, so we didn't get a chance to ask them the final questions, but
yeah,
we'll do that with the
guests. And my mom is very excited about that episode.
Really?
I found out that she was a Wesley Ure fanatic when she was
into him on the soap.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. All of it, from Land of the Lost up. Yeah. She she was like, "Ooh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see him."
That's awesome.
He looks good for 70 years old.
Yeah, he does look good. She's close to our age, or what? She's 60 or something.
Yeah, she's probably in early 60s, maybe.
Yeah, they both look really good. And I want to thank again our previous Radio Labyrinth Presents guest, Roseanne Moore from Alone. That was a lot of fun too, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. But we have a lot to discuss this week, so let's get to it, shall we? Everybody, I assume, watched Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Loved it.
I did, too. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't see the original one. I tried to watch it, and I thought, this is terrible, and I quit watching it.
Same.
But because I enjoyed Justice League, the Snyder Cut, so much, which, by the way, I didn't like the cut before that. I didn't like it at all. But the Snyder Cut, I loved. And I said, well, you know what? They're doing a real good job with this now. It's James Gunn. I'm going to go ahead and watch it. And boy, was I very pleased that I did. It was a fun movie from start. It was extremely violent. It had, it certainly had that James Gunn feel to it. It was a little grittier, but in the same kind of vein as Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, that the humor and the quick editing and stuff like that. But I just loved it. From my favorite part was when Pete Davidson got his head blown off.
That was mine too.
Spoiler alert. When I saw that part, I was like, Tim's going to be into this movie.
Here's the thing. I don't hate him like I used to for some reason. I don't know why. I think it was that thing that they did in Atlanta where he was just so bored. He made fun of everything. You know, that boxing thing with Snoop and that ridiculous influencer fight. I've been kind of a douche about him. He's actually a pretty funny guy. And I was like, okay, I can handle it. And I had no idea what was going to happen to those characters. I didn't even know half of them were in the film. I didn't know Michael Rooker is in the film. By the way, spoilers are going to abound. If you haven't seen Suicide Squad, you might want to wait, because we're going to talk about it. But Michael Rooker, he was in it. The Weasel, who was played by Gunn's brother, who also does Rocket Raccoon. Anyway, I'm rambling. Go ahead. What do you guys think? What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I thought the use of music, I mean, like all Gunn's movies, the use of music is perfect.
Right.
And especially in contrast to the original one from 2016, they completely overused the music in it and pushed it really hard, almost you know, like they just wanted to drop so many songs in it. And but with Gunn, he actually used a mix of songs that were kind of early 90s, you know, kind of stuck in that little era, and it was good. I mean, you don't hear Pixies enough in music.
But going after Gen X, going after Gen X, and going after the millennials with that, you know, I don't know about if Gen Z's into all this stuff or not, but really going after those two demographics, because you're getting you do that nice mix of 90s and 2000s music, you can tell a story with it. You know, Scorsese always uses music, and the Sopranos, they always used it as well. You know, it's a part of the story, it's another character, and I thought they did a good job. Viola Davis, what a badass.
My two big takeaways from it for sure were the fact that you can definitely see how James Gunn can just put together a group of characters and make them a team and make them fun, and they all bounce off of each other and the dialogue flows. Idris Elba and what's his face, the wrestler, John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena was great.
They were so funny together, and I would never have put those two as like a goofy pair together. And I have never really cared about the Harley Quinn character. It just seems so, and he gave her like a true soul and a heart in this movie. I loved her. I thought her character was great, and I wish they would redo Birds of Prey. Let James Gunn do it and give her a real movie instead of some dumb shit where she's just running around in booty shorts.
Yeah, she's definitely there for the, I mean, she has been in the past, you know, that character in the films is, oh, it's a sexy chick who kills people, and she's got a weird demeanor. In the original cartoon, Harley Quinn, this film kind of captured that a little bit better, I think. I could be wrong, but I liked the old Batman animated series, and I liked that version of Harley Quinn, and I liked this one in the film. So,
yeah, I read that she hated, what's her face that plays her?
Margot Robbie.
She hated that rotten tattoo on her face.
Yeah.
She hated it, and so did James Gunn. So he was like, let's just get rid of it. We don't need it. Who cares? It was in the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
So they got rid of that, and then he was the one who said, I want you to wear your original costume, what you would wear in the comic books. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of this booty short thing.
Yeah.
But he's like, he made all the right decisions. And I loved Bloodsport. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That suit. I mean, it was just like, I didn't really know that much about him. You know, of course, Neil is all like, Bloodsport, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But all the shit, I mean, all the effects were so good.
So Neil is a comic book fan and he knows Bloodsport from the comic books?
Yeah, yeah. He knows all the stories. He goes into all the backstories.
That's the thing. I don't know a lot of backstories for these DC Comics characters. I didn't know who Polka Dot Man was. I love that character. I loved the actor who played him, David Dasmalchian. I can't say it. Dasmalchian.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. And he was that one guard in The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, he's also in the beginning of Kevin Smith's reboot, Jay Silent Bob reboot. He plays one of the police officers that throw tear gas into the shop at the very beginning. Almost the same kind of character, too.
Hmm. Peacemaker is an interesting character. Cena did a great job, that helmet. See, I don't know any of these characters. Now, I was halfway through the film before I figured out that that Stallone was the shark.
Shark. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that till after it was over.
Really? Yeah, I didn't. I was talking to our friend Sean, and you know, I'd watched half of it one night, and I stayed here for the second half for the next night. And he said Stallone's great in it, and I said, "Who's Stallone?" And he said, "King Shark." Like, oh, okay, I get it. What's the deal with Ratcatcher, Daniela Melchior?
The character, or
yeah, Ratcatcher. Now that's her father was played by Taika Waititi.
Yeah, and he was really the character that was big in the comics. They kind of pushed, that's kind of a newer character, his daughter.
Okay.
So they kind of pushed that in. But yeah, interesting concept. And especially an interesting concept to have the kind of pull in the movie that it had.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Why do you think Will Smith wasn't in it? You think they told him he was going to die in the first 15 minutes and he was like, fuck this.
Why would Will Smith have been in it? Was he in the...
He was Deadshot in the first one.
Oh. Now who played Deadshot? Was Deadshot in the beginning?
In this one.
No. Nathan, how do you say his last name? I'm having trouble with these last names.
Fillion.
TDK. I love him. He got killed right away. Joel Kinnaman. He was Rick Flagg. Well, I won't spoil it at the end. Yeah. See what happens to him. But man, I didn't find anything wrong with it at all. And, you know, I'm really into Marvel burnout. I had enough Marvel. And I don't care about any of the characters individually, maybe Captain America or Hulk, but they'll never make like a kick-ass Hulk movie because Hulk's got to be nice now and not destroy things. You know, yeah. Peter Capaldi was great. Definitely great. Wish he was still Doctor Who. But he was great in that film. And of course, I always love Rooker, like I said. So more Michael Rooker.
I couldn't fault it anywhere. I loved all of it.
The general, I believe, was Joaquin Cosio. He was in The Strain, and he played the boxer dude.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him in it as well. Steve Agee. How do you say his name? Agee?
Steve Agee.
Yeah.
He was good. But he was the one he did the suit, I guess, King Shark suit.
Oh.
Or maybe not the suit, but he probably walked around in the
group. For the motion capture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all in all, I guess we all give it pretty good reviews, don't we?
Yeah, I think it finally broke the HBO Max curse.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Like we were all, you know how this past year they were, here's the big bonus of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah,
you're going to get to watch new movies at home. They're going to premiere at your house. And every single one of them have sucked balls. And this is the first one that was actually good.
Well, now, wait a minute. I don't think that Justice League, the Snyder
Cut. All right, fair enough. Whatever, you liked it. I hated that movie too. I'm sorry.
Well, you're incorrect.
Lula Borg liked my tweet when I questioned where he got his suit.
Oh yeah,
javelin costume. I said, did Booster Gold have a yard sale?
You're right. It totally looked like Booster Gold. And yeah, you know, if they should make a Booster Gold movie, don't you think?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I don't think, is he still in the DC universe?
So probably somewhere. I don't know. I stopped buying comics a while ago.
Yeah, I haven't bought.
I definitely want a Bloodsport origin movie. I want to see a movie with him when he was with Sergeant Flag back before he became Bloods. I mean, just the whole thing. I want to see how the suit came together, the whole shebang.
Well, Idris Elba was saying in an interview that he pitched an idea for a Suicide Squad prequel. So maybe we'd get kind of his origin story in that. Now, I didn't know that. Is it from the comic books where he shot Superman with a kryptonite bullet?
Yeah, Neil told me that he did fight him at some point.
Yeah, that was in it, but it wasn't. I don't think that it was him shooting him with a bullet. Was kind of just something you observed in it. Not in the movie, they made it sound like that was, you know, like a sniper bullet or, you know, something that was a lot more devastating than it actually was. But he's a human that took on Superman straight up, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, and didn't get killed.
Right.
Well, Batman fought him, but he was in an Iron Man costume. An Iron Bat costume. I would love to see more. I think Idris Elba really did a great job with that character, and I want to see prequel stuff. I really enjoy this DC universe because I don't know a lot of the backstory, so I can watch the films and be surprised and not be let down, because a lot of the Marvel stories I know already and the origin stories and stuff, and it kind of bothers me. And not in everything, but you know, I don't like the Hulk being sensitive and smart. I want the Hulk to be a monster who smashes things, and I don't want Iron Man to not be Tony Stark. That's just the way I am. So I like these characters. I don't know any of their backstories. I don't know who they were before. I just really enjoy it.
Yeah, I did too. It was nice to have like a DC Deadpool, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be R-rated, so they don't have to pull their punches with the cussing or the. There was nudity in it, and not that I care, and it was very short, but, and you know, a lot of violence and blood. So
much blood, so much violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's James Gunn to a T, though. Not especially the polka dot guy's mom popping up and everything.
That was hilarious. So
funny. They need to let James Gunn direct all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let Disney have what's his face do all the Star Wars and everything and keep ruining it, and let James Gunn do the fun stuff.
It made me think, though, because I mean, this is an old story, I guess. This villain that the
starfish.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's an old story. It made me think if that's where Gunn got the idea for Slither.
Mm, yeah, possibly. I know
and
that
Rooker was in Slither.
I know that they.
Yes, he was.
They've talked about Alan Moore's Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
That the ending was, you know, they changed the ending because it was supposed to be the giant squid attack the city at the end, but they pulled it because they thought that it wouldn't be commercial enough for you know, cinema. And this was Gunn. He referenced that in a couple of interviews where he was like, "No, this is what we wanted. You needed a giant monster attacking a city."
Mm-hmm.
And heroes to fight them. So yeah, he pulled that out.
I love that it was a comical starfish.
Yeah.
That was just really neat. Yeah. Like, all I wanted to do was keep floating around the earth and staring, and you brought me here.
That's me. That's what I want.
Yeah. You want to be like the giant star.
Yeah. I just want to float out there and stare at stuff.
And shoot little starfish out of your armpits.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Control everything.
I like the two post-credit scenes. So we know that Weasel lives, or the Weasel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And James Gunn was talking about it in an interview. Now, I don't know where it was. I forget the link that this was in, but he's talking about maybe Weasel's innocent. He didn't really kill 70 kids or however many kids he was supposedly killed. But now he's on the island and he's in that country. So we'll see what happens with him. And then the other one was what? Do you guys remember? Or somebody else.
John Cena, he's still alive.
Yes, and they're going to do a series with him.
Okay.
Yeah, there's an 8-episode series coming, I believe, in January of 22 that's all about him. So I guess in between this movie and that series, Cena's doing a short arc in WWE. I saw him on SmackDown a couple weeks ago.
Was he wearing the costume?
No, he was wearing his old goofball outfit, doing the whole, you don't can't see me. Stuff from the early 2000s when he came into the wrestling. You can't see me. And Roman Reigns is giving him the business. I just watched it once. It's like catching up on an old soap opera. It's on an old soap opera that I've seen So yeah, that's all I have to say about the Suicide Squad. Very, very much recommend it. So if you haven't seen it and you like DC movies, go watch it right now if you have HBO Max.
Even if you don't like DC movies, you might like this one.
Yeah.
I haven't cared for any of them except for Wonder Woman.
It was a fun movie, I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It was totally fun, you know, like it was super fun, and I hope that there's more and stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Joker.
Oh yeah. What about the Joker?
I like the Joker movie. Which yeah. that's like a whole other thing.
Was Batman even a consideration in that movie? Did they reference any of the other DC characters?
Well, they referenced the Waynes and Bruce Wayne.
All right.
Yeah, but it didn't go as far as Batman. I think at that point, Batman wouldn't be old enough to be Batman yet. He's still a kid.
The only thing I didn't like about that movie, but not enough to keep me from, you know, telling everyone that I enjoyed it, was De Niro. I didn't buy him as the talk show host.
Oh, really?
No. No, I said that before. I mean, I like De Niro, but I just didn't buy him as the talk show host. It wasn't, first of all, wasn't young enough. Go ahead.
Well, was it because that I thought that they were kind of emulating his movie, the one where he was supposed to be the stand-up comedian?
King of Comedy.
King of Comedy. Yeah, I get that. There was a little bit of Taxi Driver, a little bit of King of Comedy.
Yeah, so many references to De Niro, and then to have De Niro in it, you just, I mean, it was... That kind of separated me a little bit from it.
Yeah, but he didn't have that talk show host personality. Maybe if you go back to the 60s and you have the Ed Sullivan type of thing. But, you know, all the talk show hosts except for Letterman really are all up and peppy and happy. So I think maybe they could have got somebody like that. And plus in the Dark Knight comic book, the Joker goes on Letterman and that's who he kills along with Paul, you know, he kills everybody in the audience. And that was
not Paul.
Yeah, in the mid-80s. Yeah, in the Dark Knight comic book, that one, the Dark Knight Returns, I have the graphic novel. I don't have the original comic books. They're worth a pretty penny if you have them. No, he goes on David Letterman and kills everybody. Spoiler.
And when I said I didn't like DC movies, I certainly was not thinking 10 years ago, because I loved all the Batman movies and I watched them all multiple times.
Yeah, but except for recently, most of Batman is just Batman. He's the hero and there's some bad guys.
Yeah, I don't care for his Batman. I think his Batman sucks.
Who's?
Ben Affleck's.
Oh, like yeah. It. Yeah, it is what it is. It's kind of boring. Did anybody besides Jeff and I watch Val?
I didn't have the fortitude.
I can't. I'm with Dustin. I can't. I don't. It's like if I could just... If Dustin, can you make me a cut of just Val's movie scenes? Just
right, and not all the in-between stuff that makes you cry. Yeah, that's what everybody keeps telling me. That's the only reason I haven't watched it yet, is because I haven't set aside enough emotional time to be able to handle it, watch it, and then be able to process it and function. Yeah.
I can't. Well,
Val is on. Do you mind if we talk about it for like a second?
Yeah, oh, no, please.
Go for it.
Val is on Amazon Prime. Jeff watched it, and then I remembered that it was out there, and so I watched it too. Didn't know what to expect. First things first, he is an interesting cat because he grew up in a family that encouraged creativity. They grew up near a Hollywood set. His father was involved somehow in the business.
They lived on Roy Rogers Ranch.
Ranch, yeah. And he had two brothers, and they would constantly make movies. He was one of the first kids to have a video recorder, and they had film cameras and stuff. So he cataloged everything. And whenever he did a movie, he walked around with a video camera and did that behind the scenes stuff, kind of like Jeff Bridges does with his camera, you know, just, you know, recording everything for posterity. And that stuff was cool. I would love to see more of that, because you see him on set with young Tom Hanks, young Sean Penn, all these guys he worked with in the early days. And that stuff is really cool. And then him talking about his movies and his career. But now he when they show him talking with his voice now, it's really unsettling because of throat cancer. And so he has a tracheotomy tube in his throat.
I didn't like that part where he tried to order the French fried potatoes.
You're a douchebag.
Can I get your mustard on that? And the reason
you guys suck.
No. The reason it bothers me so much now is because I've been smoking a long time. You know, I quit, but I am worried that I'll
quit.
Yeah, I've quit a long time ago. I vape. What? I vape, but I don't.
Anyway.
Well, I have to. I can't have tar and nicotine all over my hands and touch the baby. Right?
But you haven't quit smoking, so just stop it with this.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't. You're vaping.
Well, vaping isn't smoking.
It's not cigarette smoke, but it's still not good. I think cigarette smoke's actually better for you.
Oh, how could it be? This isn't fire.
Shit is, it's like tarring up your lungs the same. It's just
the
like
Chinese would never make anything terrible to put into your body. The Chinese are at the top quality of vape product makers on
whatever. It. Okay, you quit smoking. It's fine.
Yes. All right. Well, I quit burning tobacco. There we go. But no, that's what I do. It scares me. It makes me scared. But other than that, I feel bad for him too, even though I think he looks like Richard Nixon now.
I thought he looked kind of like John Voight.
I kind of did look like John. Yeah, modern John Voight. But it's really, really sad. So if you can't handle sad,
I mean, it's not sad where like he's dead and you're crying. Yeah, I mean, it's hopeful in that, you know, he's still alive and he's still able to share this with the world and stuff. And it's kind of uplifting in that he's survived all the shit that's happened to him.
Yeah. One thing
stuff that's happened to him is pretty sad.
Yeah. I want to compare what there is an element to this film where he's going out to these screenings of Top Gun and some of his other movies, and he's doing appearances and signing autographs, and he's like, I got to go. I can't be back in a second.
One cool thing they had his son.
His son narrated. He sounds just like.
Read all the words.
Right. But he goes to these things, and there's a point in the film where he starts talking about how he never thought he would have to do that, but he still has to make money. And, you know, so he's like, oh, shit, now I got to go out and do this stuff, because he's an actor. He's a serious actor, and serious actors supposedly don't go do, you know, fan conventions or screenings and stuff like that. And how he laments it and he hates doing it. But then because he gets to meet all of his fans and they still love him, even though he, you know, can't be who he was, it humbles him somewhat. And I think that he gets to see how much people loved his characters and loved him as an actor. And so that's pretty cool. But then I wanted to kind of compare that with, we spoke with Wesley Uhr and Kathy Coleman from Land of the Lost, and they go to conventions all the time, and they haven't really been, that show hasn't been on TV in 50 years, practically, right? 45 at least.
That's still shown in reruns places, but.
But right, but it hasn't aired in regular time, whatever. But they love it, and they love meeting with the fans and stuff. So, you know, they went, hey, let's go do this. Let's interact with their fans. So, you know, I can see both sides of it. How if you're like a serious, I can't go do that. But I mean, what a great way to connect with people. And just to throw back to Land of the Lost, that show really hits the Gen X people. And I think I appreciate that. You know, I work, well, you know, on WSB, Eric Von Hassler, the host of the show, it always puzzles him for some reason why people would want an autograph. And then he'll say, why would they charge? That's ridiculous. They shouldn't charge. Well, a lot of these people, they don't make money anymore. And they were on TV when they didn't get residual deals. Now, everybody modern, they get residual deals for things that run, DVDs and stuff like that. But the, you know, people who worked for ABC television, Sunday, Saturday morning television in the late 60s, early 70s, they're not getting residual deals for shit. So let them go out and earn money. And plus, we get to meet them and talk to them and stuff. So I support it 100%.
Like on Land of the Lost, they weren't even getting paid when they were doing the show. That's why the dad left.
Yeah, the dad left because they were slapping his face on stuff and selling it, and they weren't getting a penny for it.
Right.
I imagine that a lot of the people in the original Star Wars movies didn't get anything.
Well, you know, in Val's, he is a great actor, no doubt, but I would think most of the movies that he's really known for are movies that people that come to cons would be all about, you know, Real Genius and Top Gun. I mean, Real Genius was everything to me when I was a kid. I watched that in Top Gun or Top Secret over and over and over. Top Secret, I thought, was the funniest movie ever in the history of time.
Yeah.
I loved that movie. So, I mean, I think that even though Heat is the shit. Heat is so good. I mean, have you seen Heat?
I've never seen Heat.
I just watched it.
Want to talk about it now?
I want to talk about it.
Let's get Jim Gaffigan on and see if he'll come out and talk about it. You've never seen it, Dustin, or you said you just watched?
No, I've seen it multiple times.
I told this story before, but when that Jim Gaffigan was 2002, 2003, when he was doing that routine in his stand-up bit, mm-hmm. and we'd always recite it and everything. And I went to visit my cousin and my aunt and uncle in North Carolina. And it was just one of those, perfect moments. My cousin looks at me and my friend who I brought with me and says, "Do you ever see Heat?" And my friend and I burst into laughter, and he didn't get it. I think he was pissed, but then I had to play him the bit. So anyway, that's a little side note, but you made me think of Al because we were talking about Batman and he didn't like that movie. And I can understand why, because he points out that he was just a guy in a suit and the suit was heavy and it was hot and he couldn't move. And, back then it was just one big foam thing. And, he talks about how all the other actors in the film, Tommy Lee Jones, it was Nicole Kidman,
Jim Carrey,
they got to play these larger than life characters with great dialogue and everything. And he's just,
he's still a better Batman than George Clooney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sans nipples. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think the first three Batman movies are good. Val Kilmer's impression of his ability to deliver that character aside, it's still a good Batman movie. Then you had what was the next one? Were there two with Clooney or just one?
It was Batman and Robin. Didn't they go Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
There were two with Clooney, right?
They were Joel Schumacher's.
Yeah, I didn't like those.
Yeah.
Everybody chill.
But the one with Kilmer, the Batman Forever, that was the best. That was the best one to watch on acid. It was the most colorful and wild.
I watched it on Tylenol. Sweet. But you brought up what? What was the one you brought up before we started talking about Batman?
Real Genius, Top Secret.
No, not Top Secret. Was that Heat? Heat? No.
Willow.
Yeah.
Mad Mardigan.
Yeah. What did I see? Somebody was referencing Willow and something. Yeah, it was
Reservation Dogs.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a little bit because we'll talk about what we watched. I just heard about Willow and that. But yeah, he enjoyed making Willow. The one movie of his from, I guess, the early 90s that I really don't like, even though he did a good job in it, is The Doors by Oliver Stone.
Really? I like that movie.
I was always a Doors fan. I've always liked The Doors. And I just thought he made Jim Morrison seem more pretentious than he was, which is difficult to do because Jim Morrison was very pretentious. I remember I bought a Doors Greatest Hits. And when we were kids, Jeff had to do all the driving, but I was such a douche. I was like, I want to listen to my music, even though you're doing the driving. So put this in. And Jeff said he sounded like Frank Sinatra or a lounge singer. Remember that? You hated him.
I just figured if he hadn't died, he'd be just in Vegas doing 7 shows a week.
Yeah, you're right.
What impressed me about that more than anything was the fact that Val did all the vocals.
Yeah. I mean, he was very dedicated to getting that character right. You're right. But it was the Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
And he's hit or miss, and the dialogue was just so clunky. Everybody was good, they were cast well. John Densmore was played by Kevin Dillon. I was going to do one of his lines for Platoon, but I don't want to cancel. Ain't nothing like the Indy 500, except maybe a piece of pussy. There you go. You can do that one. All the other ones is I never seen a head come apart like that.
You're going to be all right, old dude.
Yeah, that's from the Blob remake that we saw. Going to be all right, old dude. The only good line in that movie.
Are you going to do any Entourage quotes?
He's hard. I just remember that. It's Brooke Shields. He had a boner while he was hugging her.
How are you doing?
Kyle MacLachlan as Ray. Manzarek, and then I forgot who played
Robbie Krieger
here. AC Shamasco.
He was Brad from Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Frank Whaley.
Yeah. I just thought it was too pretentious and dumb. And I described Jim Morrison pretty much as an erudite, snooty Navy brat. And, he everything was with Jim. He was just a fat alcoholic heroin addict who died in a bathtub. And that's too bad because the Doors were a good band. And they put out two albums without him. Both of them are unremarkable, except there's a funny song about a mosquito that they sing in Spanish. There's one song where they're playing, it sounds like the Doors, and then you hear one of them sing, "Hey, Mr. Mosquito, stay away from my burrito." It's the Doors.
But basically, Val is worth seeing, I'd say. If you're a fan of Val Kilmer, you should watch it.
Did they show any clips from Thunderheart?
No, they didn't. Which is strange, because that is a very good movie.
It is. It's very good.
Yeah, it's a shame that they didn't show anything from that, because I really loved it. That had the guy from Dances with Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking Bird, I think was his name. Kicking Bird. Keep doing the Mary McDonnell. All right, we're going to take a break, come back and talk about what we watched and all that jazz. Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right? Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah. Oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's Conyers. Oh, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call home. And home is where you hang your pizza. You see, I'm a little bit tired, but you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there if you live in the Atlanta area. And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe I'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family-owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros, generously topped pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine-in and takeout available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online, atlantapizzaeuro.com, and find them on Facebook, where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is a class act dude. We love him, and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together, and we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go out into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon, and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it in my house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No. So, guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza in Euro.
And we're back.
Well, before we get to what everybody watched and our staff picks, there's a couple of interesting things. First of all, White Lotus got picked up for a second season, so that got renewed. And I believe they said it's going to be with a new cast of characters. Is it going to be at a different resort or the same resort?
Apparently, this parent company owns a bunch of resorts all over the world. So Mike White is doing the Adam Sandler deal where he like uses the money he gets to make shit to take awesome trips places.
Nice.
You know, Adam Sandler does that. So This one will be set someplace lovely, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm still a week behind, but...
Well, this last episode wasn't so haha. It was more serious, definitely. It was good, but it was definitely not so silly.
Watching the manager eat that guy's asshole was pretty funny.
The interaction between Plop and that guy, the manager, after he saw him doing that,
it's hilarious
on this week's episode.
I love him walking away, going, "You're fucking going down." And I like the moody bitch girl, the daughter. She's so annoying. We got to get caught up, but we're behind on that. We did finish Physical. So did everybody enjoy that?
Yeah. Yeah. I liked I thought it was good. I mean, it was a bizarre final frame of the ending.
My wife and I are both looking at the TV going, "No way. People don't do that in malls." I said, "Not anymore.
They're mall wankers."
Yeah, they weren't mall wankers.
It's like a diddle serenade.
You knew something was going to happen between those two, but I didn't think it was going to be like that.
A diddle off?
Yeah, a diddle off. It wasn't quite as uncomfortable as Rory Scovel going down on that chick while his daughter's standing there.
Yeah.
Going.
But
it was a satisfying ending, and I'm glad there's going to be another season. So
Yeah.
That dude that was doing the mall wanking is the guy that reads the new Stephen King book and in the audiobook.
Paul Sparks?
Yeah.
Now you guys are both listening to that, right?
Yeah, Dustin's probably done now. I'm trying to save it just at maybe a half hour or an hour a day.
Yeah, I'm about three quarters of the way through.
And there's no horror in it or anything like that. It's just a mystery.
If you want one Easter egg, the Overlook Hotel, it pops up.
How's the dialogue in it? Because, you know, sometimes you can overlook, he can be a little heavy handed with the dialogue. Not as a bad thing, but, you know,
the guy's performance, he's doing some kind of like your typical mafia voice guy, you know.
He's got to do like four or five different ones. Yeah. And so each one of them kind of have a little different mafia twang to them. But he pulls it off. Honestly, I thought that when it starts, it's almost like he had to build up. It's like they didn't re-record the first of the book. It's like they just had him start reading it, and then he got better as it went along, as opposed to then going back and re-recording the beginning once he had the voices down.
Mm.
But really good. I mean, he does a really good job with a variety of voices, male and female.
Yeah.
I've been working on doing the governor of New York, but it's futile at this point to...
Former.
Well, for another week, I'm transitioning to becoming an ex-governor.
This Governor Kokomo?
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to rape you. Spaghetti.
Yeah, you killing me today with those spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh yeah, we didn't get to the one joke I wrote. It was
I filled a bathtub with spaghetti sauce, and when I get in, it becomes bolognese.
It was a lot of fun. It sucks he's gay. I think he's going to make fun of him, but I think he's innocent.
So does my mom.
Your mom, why does she call him Governor Kokomo? Could she not say his name?
She doesn't pronounce anything right. I told you, she calls tsunamis toonsies.
That's cute, though. That cutes it up. Oh, it's a toonsie.
And she didn't even call him governor. She said, I was watching that Mayor Kokomo on the news. And I think those women are lying. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, he's handsome.
What's your mother's phone number? Can she do push-ups? Under the age of 30.
Does she like spaghetti?
Does she like spaghetti? My daughters don't eat my spaghetti. And the boyfriend comes over for Thanksgiving dinner. And my brother, he had COVID. And he came out of his basement. He won't talk about me on CNN.
Yeah, it's not easy to do that weird voice. I said today that he's got, he and his family are the only people in Queens with that accent. I've never heard anybody that sounded like him or his father. And Chris Cuomo doesn't have that accent. So
it's like a mafia light.
Or something like this, a shining house on a hill, Ronald Reagan's America, where people are left behind. A shining house on a hill.
Sorry. I love Mario Cuomo. You know, he was the ideal guy for me, but he never would run because he had too many. I don't know why he never ran. I think he would have won maybe in 92, but he did it. And then he got his ass beat by George Pataki, who I always thought looked like McLean Stevenson. But enough about New York State politics. Nobody cares. It's passed. And now they have a new governor, or will have a new governor. And that Fred Armisen will not betray. You remember when Elliot Spitzer was forced to leave because he was client number nine? He was banging that hooker. And he got caught banging that hooker. And she had a very brief amount of fame. She did a talk show circuit. She, you know, they slapped her naked ass in Playboy. But the person who took him down was that weird dude with white hair. Why can't I think of his name that Trump was involved with? Do you remember who I'm talking about? The weird dude. They did a documentary about him.
Yeah, Roger Stone.
Roger Stone hated Elliot Spitzer, and he did everything in his power to take him down, and it worked. And so Elliot Spitzer resigns, and he's replaced by the blind guy whose name I don't remember. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is because Fred Armisen did a great impersonation of that guy with his eyes all fucked up. That's how, here's how we're going to do now. You remember that?
I don't.
Oh. It's funny. I remember the impression, but I don't remember the real guy.
Oh, I don't remember. Me, very, very not memorable. But that's how long Cuomo has been governor. He's been governor 12 years. And he would have been, he probably would win again if he ran again. But, well, not now, of course. Not after he had sex with everybody's grandparents in the old folks' home.
That was de Blasio that sent them all to die, wasn't it?
No, it was Cuomo. It's not like we don't need to get into it.
Okay. He's just a sexy old man with nipple rings in a very Brillo-esque chest.
Venture Brothers, there's some news on that front. They are going to do the, they put all seasons on HBO Max. I thought they were already on HBO Max. Where were they? On Hulu? Something like that. But they are all on. Hmm?
They were probably waiting for the license to run up on whoever they had, you know, licensed them to for the 6 months or year or whatever for streaming. Cause you know, that's how they do it in packages.
Or maybe it was the most recent season that was on HBO Max. Cause I watched some of it, but yeah, they're all on there now. Or all will be very shortly. If you like the Venture Brothers, I can binge that whole show over and over again because there's a lot to take in. I love that it. If you've never seen the Venture Brothers, it mocks a lot of pop culture. Everything that you grew up with is being mocked in a good way. And they are going to do the wrap-up film, so that'll be nice. I hope we get news about Squidbillies and Aqua Teen Hunger Force soon because they were teasing that earlier in the year, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, so I'd like to find out more about that as soon as we can. All right, guys, let's thank another one of our amazing, amazing, awesome Radio Labyrinth sponsors. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect item to enhance your celebration, graduation, Father's Day is coming up or just went by. There's other holidays coming up or just went by. Check out Cardstock Creation Company. That is run by Lindsay Thomas. You can find her Etsy page at etsy.com/shop/cardstockcreationco. I'm sure if you just put in Cardstock Creation CO, you'll find it. We'll also put a link in the show notes, both on YouTube and in the RSS feed. Listen, if you need an advent calendar, a cake topper, doggy clothes, I mean, they got everything, jewelry, koozies, milestone banners, birthday banners, confettis, cupcake toppers, and more. Again, Cardstock Creation Co. Steph, do you need any doggy clothes?
Always. I always need doggy clothes.
Okay.
And I live on Etsy.
I live on Etsy too. A man cannot live on Etsy alone though. Sometimes you need eBay to. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need cupcake toppers like you wouldn't believe. So that's why I'm going to check out Cardstock Creation Co. on Etsy. All right, let's talk about what we watched. I'll go first because I'm the most boring. I already talked about Val, but I watched that on Amazon Prime. We started watching Ted Lasso. I don't know why we waited, but we did. No. We're almost done with season one, but man, what a great show. I shouldn't have sat on that one.
It is good. I really like it.
And that since season one.
What?
I've been saying that since season one. That's why I'm giving you guys shit about.
But I don't listen to you.
It dropped with Apple Plus, right? Wasn't it one of the original things on there?
Yeah. I watched that like immediately.
Wow. I can't believe I waited so long to watch it. It was really, really good.
Half hour, easily digestible, funny, heartwarming.
Yeah, my favorite character is Roy Kent.
What's that?
Roy Kent. That's my favorite character.
The fact that it can just, I mean, it just pushes the idea that one positive person can change all those lives for the better is just something you don't, I mean, when you look back on it, it's such a simple idea. That it's so simple that it doesn't sound interesting, but when you watch it, it's amazing how much it really, you know, grabs you, you know, by the heart the whole time.
I keep expecting the owner of the team, his boss, to put on a gray outfit and march him naked to the pitch going,
shame.
She cleans up well. Let's see what else did I watch. I'm still watching The Dark Side of the 90s. The most recent episode is the Beanie Babies craze. And the way the guy that created those Beanie Babies turned it into a money-making machine for him and a big loss for people. If it were a coin, it would be called shit coin. What, Jeff?
Whatever whatever happened to that guy? I watched that documentary, but I don't recall what happened to the guy. Is he dead?
I don't think so. I don't know, though.
He's forgotten, just like the Beanie Babies.
Yes.
He decided that, well, he was making these Beanie Babies, and he was saying, oh, we're going to retire these ones. So everybody went out and like, oh, we got to get these because they're retiring them.
Right.
And then like in 1999, he said, we're retiring all of them, even though he had no plans to stop making Beanie Babies.
Right.
He was just going to like reboot them. But that backfired on him and nobody wanted any fucking Beanie Babies anymore after that.
What about the Beanie Barbie?
Remember that prank call from Crank Anchors? Jimmy Kimmel calls up. He's doing a Karl Malone's voice.
This Karl Malone, you got the Beanie Baby?
We don't have the Beanie Baby.
What about the Beanie Barbie?
Click. Go find it on YouTube. It's very funny. A lot of that earlier. I don't like any of the new Crank Anchor stuff, but the old stuff's funny. And then my staff pick, if you are a fan or not of Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, they had a very good guest this week, John Schruck. Now, you may not know the name, but if you see him or hear his voice, you'll know who exactly this person is. He was Suicide in the MASH movie. He's in McCabe and Mrs. Miller, The Long Goodbye, all those Robert Altman films, in a lot of television shows over the 70s and 80s. You'll see him. The most recent thing I've seen him play is he has played the chief of police or the commissioner in the Law and Order universe. So if you know who that is, that's that guy. He's at that guy for sure. And God, what else was he in? He played Herman Munster in one of the Munsters updates.
Yeah, that Color Munsters reboot.
Right. Okay. But you'll know who he is if John Schruck. But it's a great interview. It's a lot of fun. And as usual, there's laughs and you learn a bunch of stuff that you didn't know about. So that's my stuff.
Let's Defco, because I want to hear about Reservation Dogs, because I haven't watched it yet. I was waiting to hear what you guys said.
I really liked it. It was good. It's a little bit surreal, only in the sense that the kid does see a dead Native American. That's,
yeah, but that guy's funny as shit.
Yeah, he is very funny. That's like his spirit guide.
Yeah.
But the kids, they live in basically a ghetto in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's a reservation.
Yeah, and it's sad, and their whole goal is to steal and do whatever they have to make as much money as they can so they can get the hell out of there. Yeah. And go to California. So that's all they're doing is just, and what's his name? What's the dude's name that is from Fargo that played the Indian in the season 2? The one who ended up killing everybody at the end.
The one
shit.
In Dr. Sleep. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. He's great. He plays the reservation police officer and he's completely inept.
Don McLernan. He's also in the first, I think he's in the first season of that show in Wyoming that we liked. What was that show called?
Longmire?
Yeah, he was the reservation cop in Longmire, I believe.
So he plays a complete imbecile. He's so dumb. Dope,
but he's
so
great. Dumb. Yeah.
He's really great. And just everybody's... Like,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, everybody's super sarcastic. Nope. I really think you'd like it a lot.
Yeah, it's funny. And he was in Longmire. He's in Longmire and Dr. Sleep. It's very, very funny show. But, you think like, I know, you think you know about Native Americans. And then you take the genre that this type of show is and you put them together. And you're like, wow, holy shit. Relatable characters, funny dialogue. And you can learn some stuff that you don't know about. So you can, if you're curious, you can go out and find out more. I don't think many people know how shitty they have it on these reservations because they don't get any money. And you're going to live here, but you're going to live in a crappy house. And Bobby Lee, that's his name.
Yeah. Plays the doctor. Oh my God. He's so funny as the doctor.
He's also the eye doctor. And yeah. I'm going to assume he's the veterinarian.
He says it too. I think he says he's the asshole doctor. He's every doctor. You name it. He's the doctor of it.
He's funny as shit. And so I recommend it. Jeff, I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I've watched both of the first episodes that were out, and they were both really good.
It's crazy. Taika Waititi is on a roll because he produced that as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really good. So I watched that, and I watched this movie, Palms, on Netflix with Diane Keaton and Jackie Weaver, where they're like this old folks home where they become cheerleaders. It's a terrible movie. It's not good. And I just watched it purely because I have this whole fantasy about living in a 55 and over community. That's my dream. I can't wait. I wish I could move in now, but it just really didn't. It wasn't very good. It wasn't good. I don't recommend it. I wouldn't watch it. And I'm rewatching Eastbound and Down again for probably the fourth time. I don't know what happens. Just every once in a while, every couple few years, I just want to watch it again. So I'm in season two, which, you know, is the darkest season. So anybody out there, if you've never watched Eastbound and Down, they're all of them are in HBO Max. Just watch it. It's, I don't think they can make the show now. I don't think they could.
Why not?
Kenny, even though he's portraying somebody who you know is terrible, I just still don't think that they would do it.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, but because it's already out there, they just let it play. But I don't know. I love that show so much. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time. And my staff pick is August 18th on Hulu. You guys have probably seen the previews for this. This Nine Perfect Strangers with Nicole Kidman. And she's like this guru at one of those self-help places where people go and try to find themselves. Yeah. And it's got like Bobby Cannavale and Melissa McCarthy. And there's all kinds of stars in it. And so they all think that Nicole Kidman is going to help them fix their lives. But according to the synopsis, she has much darker machinations.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that one. I think
I haven't seen the trailer. When's it start? Next week?
Yeah.
August 18th. Yeah. I read the early reviews and they're calling it the show of the summer. Other than the White Lotus.
Hulu's got a bunch of good stuff coming up, I think.
We already talked about Suicide Squad. I watched the Finnish Katla, the Icelandic volcano show.
I have one episode left.
That episode makes all the difference as far as where it's going. It's based off an Icelandic fairy tale or fable, and the ending kind of backs that up, if that makes any sense. But it still looks great. Huh?
There's some explanation as to what's going on.
Resolution, more resolution than explanation.
Okay.
any more than it would kind of give it away.
All right.
I watched Ted Lasso. The only thing really was UFO series on Showtime that J.J. Abrams put out. Yeah, I saw Jeff watched it too. It's really good. I mean, it's like any other UFO documentary, but they went through and made and took the time to get all this footage and then process all that footage to make it look as good as it can. So all those blurry shots, or, you know, they stabilized all the shaking, they, you know, magnified everything so it looks better. And some of that stuff is interesting, very interesting. But they go into the first episode is kind of just about mostly about the Phoenix Lights, that incident where 1,000 people called in when they saw those lights over Phoenix, and they kind of put together all of the some of the witnesses and talk about it now. How the town kind of, go ahead.
That guy that was like the governor or something of Arizona.
Yeah. And he's explaining why he, you know, was behind the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, one day he pops up at a news conference and brings in this guy in an alien suit and like makes fun of it when he was like just before all serious about it. So everybody thinks that somebody got to him and changed his mind, but he's there, you know, in modern time now saying that, you know, no, it was just a joke. And but it's really cool how they're putting it together. It's a 10-part series or 6-part series.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go into different, I think they're going to take different, big events in the UFO history and kind of expand on them in each one, but they do so in a very, really, you know, J.J. Abrams makes good media. So
can you watch it someplace other than
Showtime? Can you watch
it someplace other than Showtime? Because I don't have that.
I don't think so. Not right now, but a couple of months and it'll be somewhere else.
Netflix probably.
Yeah.
If I want to watch Dexter. Sorry, go ahead.
My staff pick is a book. Comes out this week or next week on the 17th. It's called Bloodless, Mm-hmm. It's by Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. It's the newest in the Pendergast series. And it this one kind of focuses on the mystery of D.B. Cooper. So, and you know, they're really good about taking existing mysteries and then kind of writing an actual reality to it. So, you know, they did it with Oak Island in one book where they actually give an explanation as to what was there and how it happened, you know, fictional, of course. And then they're doing the same thing with D.B. Cooper. So, you know, kind of give an explanation of how he did what he did and you know, a fictitious ending to the story. So, and they always write great books. So I'm looking forward to that. That's Bloodless, available August 17th.
Awesome.
The only thing I watched that nobody else talked about was Alone.
I watched that.
You know, nobody tapped this week, but that's like the only thing on my list that nobody else talked about already.
It was a good episode.
Yeah. And I don't know who's going to win. A lot of people are saying Clay, but I think
it's going to be Clay. I think it's going to be the guy that I didn't like at the beginning, but I think is doing well. Don't you think so?
I'm okay with that, any of them winning. That lady, she'll probably tap out next, in my opinion. I don't know. But that Coulter guy, the guy that looks like Brian Posehn.
Yeah, I like him.
He built the boat and everything. He could do all right if he starts catching some fish, but everybody's so starving and everything in this. It's like,
yeah,
kind of hard to watch because they put them in this area and then the resources that they should have had didn't come because there was like a landfall and the fish weren't able to get into the lake.
Well, also they can't catch any of the trout at the beginning because of the First Nations rules about fishing in that lake. So they had to make deals with the First Nations up in Canada to be able to shoot the show there. So they can't, there's a certain amount of time you can't, because of spawning or whatever, you can't use gill nets or trot lines. So yeah, they're pretty much starving.
And what's the deal with grizzly bears? You can't shoot grizzly bears?
Well, they don't have guns.
Well, they have bow and arrow.
Yeah, but I don't think you kill it unless you hit it, unless you're a marksman. I don't think you kill a grizzly bear with a bow and arrow right away.
If you're hungry.
You need Eddie Dean and Susanna Dean there to take down the take down the giant grizzly bear. Oh, wait a minute, that's a book.
My staff pick is What If. It started today as we record. I haven't watched it yet. It's in the new Disney Plus Marvel series.
Dump it all or episodic?
I think it's episodic every Wednesday.
All right.
It's animated, but they're doing those What If stories. Yeah. Remember those comic books where they would like do crazy stories like, what if this happened? What if this happened? I'm looking forward to see how they do it animated.
Yeah, the first one is Captain Carter. So it's, yeah, if she became Captain America instead of
Steve. Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tim's no on that. I'm gonna watch it.
All right. Well, that's what we watched. And those are our staff picks. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat, and they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about, and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. We did lose a couple of people. Jeff, I want you to talk about one of these in depth a little bit because you've met him, but we did lose Marky Post, 70 years old, to cancer. Marky Post from most notably to us from Night Court, and also Cameron, his mother in There's Something About Mary. What did you say?
Fall Guy.
Yeah.
He was also Electra Woman on the one episode reboot Sid and Marty Krofft tried to do of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Marky Post. I didn't know she was sick. Brad Allen, 48-year-old, he was a stunt performer. And then, of course, Trevor Moore, 41 years old. Now, Jeff, did people know what happened to him?
No, they're just saying it's an accident. So, of course, that makes everybody online jump to all sorts of wild speculations.
Yeah, 4chan is saying that he was killed for being red-pilled or something, and that the Illuminati got him. I don't believe any of that crap. Something happened to him.
People are saying shit like David Carradine shit or drug overdose or such and such, but his wife found him in the family yard, so I don't know what could have happened. But, you know, when they say, when they just say it's an accident and don't ask, then that makes people speculate wildly.
Well, he's from the Whitest Kids You Know, which was were they an improv troupe that had a comedy show?
They were a sketch troupe.
Yeah, I never watched it, so I wish I had.
Fucking hilarious. Go back and watch it right now, dude. You would love it.
The sketches hold up, definitely. It was on IFC.
Is that where I Ask Pennies comes from?
No, that's Upright Citizens Brigade. Okay.
That was one thing Jeff used to say all the time. Ask Pennies. I watched one clip the other day where Trevor Moore goes to his friend's window and he goes, "Race war, come on, man, race war."
You got to watch when he's the grapest.
The grapest. All right. Yeah, those clips are available. I guess I should just dive in.
Was he doing a lot of that man on the street type stuff before anybody else did? Like, I know he did that one where he got the two guys to try out the exercise machine that made it look like they were blowing themselves. But yeah, he was, I didn't know. I mean, he looked very familiar. I'd seen him before, but only maybe clips online. And that was where he got his popularity, right? Was it, yeah. He was one of the first sketch groups online.
Yeah. And his hour long special, I forget where it was maybe on HBO or Showtime. Maybe a year or two ago, it was fucking fantastic. It's very sad that he died.
Well, I'll dive into him on YouTube, see what
I can. Look up Puppies Forever. That's my favorite.
Puppies Forever.
He didn't really have that much of a role in that, only that he was the person handing off the animals. But the sketches, it's very short, but it's basically, you know, they start out with like, oh, you love it, you get a puppy. And then not that long, then it grows up, and then it's because at first he's holding the puppy, then it flash forwards a full grown dog, and it comes in, and he's like, "Get off me, you son of a bitch!"
and Grapist, look up Grapist, you'll be hooked after that one.
Oh, look at that, Izzy, where's he?
What's your stat pick, Izzy? She doesn't have a spin. You know what her stat pick is? I can't think of any TV people.
Tales from the Golden Monkey.
Yes. Is there a guy with one eye in that?
No, there was a dog with one eye with the eye patch.
Oh, that's right. We need to get her an
eye patch. I'm going to smooch her right on her little sewed up eye.
Let's do views or snooze.
The final season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine starts next week, I think, on NBC. I want to see how it goes out. I'm sad that it got canceled, but I'm glad NBC picked it up after it got dumped by Fox, and it's been still funny continuously, even through the cast changes and stuff. I'm gonna tune in. I got a views on the final season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I've been snoozing it this whole time, then I'm just gonna keep on snoozing it.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the first one to say that. So
you would like it if you watched it.
I've never watched it, so
But I haven't ever, so I'm going to have to stick with snooze for now.
I tried to watch it. It was too slapstick for me.
Oh, really? Why didn't you get
it? Hilarious stuff.
I never cared for the lead.
Andy Samberg?
Yeah, he always seemed, I don't know, something about him. I mean, the same reason some people don't like Adam Sandler, this doesn't strike a chord with him. It's the way he was with me. I never cared for, was it Hot Rod?
Oh my God, I've watched. That's one of my favorite movies, Dustin.
I know it is.
I love that movie. I watch it all the freaking time.
You won't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine because that's hilarious.
But some of the other people in it, I mean, I really like. So, I mean, I could probably just ignore Sandberg and try to get it.
I tried to watch it because I love him so much. I love the Lonely Island Boys. I love all their songs. Yeah, I love Pop Star. I thought that was great. And it's just, I think it's not enough. It's not Lonely Island enough for me. It's too
networky.
Yeah.
Well, it's not because I don't think I would like it. It's just because I never got into it. Same with like Letterkenny and Trailer Park Boys. I know those shows, people love them, and the episodes I've watched are good. It's just, it's so long now, I never get caught up.
Yeah, you can get caught up on Letterkenny pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. It is funny. All right, what's the next show?
Heels. We talked about it. We had Joel Murray on the show. That starts this week on Stars, which I don't subscribe to, so I'm maybe going to have to find this show somewhere.
Yeah, tell me where to find it, because I don't subscribe to it either, and I really want to watch it.
Yeah, I want to watch it
too. I've got Stars, so I'm gonna give it a view just because I can.
Why don't you put it on, Dustin, and then you can Zoom with me and Jeff we'll watch it on your TV.
No, we're not going to do that, because I've wanted to do that with like 50 things, and nobody wants to do a reaction video, so no.
Well, we're not good. Wait, what do you mean a reaction?
Just put it on Zoom. The idea would be we would do this, but at the same time, everybody would start play at the same time, and then there you go. It's all we got to do. Just watch it.
Scream something so we don't have to all try to coordinate at the same
time. Let's try and do one of these things. Like Netflix has it, and I know Amazon Prime has it. Maybe we could do it when we watch
Fifth Element. Oh, you mean a watch party? The watch party feature?
Yeah, let's do a watch party and let everybody from the Radio Shack in and everything too.
Yeah.
We can coordinate that. I would fucking love that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll look into it.
That's four views for us. I want to if
Heels. I want to see it. That's where they played two brothers playing wrestling, small town wrestling rivals. It's filmed here in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I made all those flags that you see, those Duffy Brothers wrestling DW flags that you see in the show.
Awesome.
Yeah, so watch for those. And the final viewers news is Cribs is coming back on MTV this week. First new episodes in 10 years. You going to watch it?
Yeah, I'm going to say snooze.
Yeah, I didn't. When I watched Cribs, when it first came out, it was looking ahead in life going, man, one day I could have that. Now, so as old insane. As I am, I'm never going to have any of that. So fuck
them. I hate them. I feel the same way, Dustin. This is why I hate House Hunters, especially the vacation ones. I hope all of them fucking drown. I hate them.
Don't you want to just watch it just to hate watch and be like, no. Look at this mm-mm. fucking shit.
No.
No. I'm never, like he said, I'm never going to have this shit. Fuck them. I hate them.
All right. So that's four snoozes from all of us.
Yes. All right, that's four snoozes, and that means the show is about to end. I'm going to go eat some spaghetti. Stephanie, why don't you tell people about Barkville Rescue?
BarkvilleDogRescue.org. You probably know this because I talk about it all the time, but we pull dogs from high-kill shelters all over Georgia, and pretty much now all of the shelters are high-kill because they're all full and they don't know what to do with them. So if you would like to help us out, you can foster, you can donate, you can show up and help us out at events, but just go to BarkvilleDogRescue.org. If you want to adopt and fill out an application, and we'd love to have you. I'm going to be doing the Strut Your Mud again. Matt Carter, get your checkbook ready. Matt Carter is always there for me. And I appreciate it, guys. I'll be posting that soon. And if you live, you don't have to live there, but DeKalb and Fulton, the Lifeline shelters, they are at capacity, 350 dogs. And they are a no-kill shelter, so they try to be, but they may not be able to be if they don't get some adoptions. So they're doing free adoptions all weekend, this coming weekend. So when this show comes on Saturday, if you heard it in the morning, you could take your ass straight up to DeKalb or Fulton and just grab a dog or a cat. Just grab them. Just grab them and go out the door. Yeah. And don't fight them and don't chain them to a tree.
No.
And anyway, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Yeah. BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Don't be one of these douchebags who gets an animal because you're in lockdown and you want to have a companion, and they go, "Oh, I'm back to work. Yeah, I can't have keep it." If you did that, you're a douchebag. And yeah, I don't care. You could be my great uncle. I don't know if I have a great uncle alive, but if I did and he did that, I would call him a douchebag. Don't do that to animals. You bring them home and they love you, and they're like, "Oh, I got to go back to that shitty place because you have to go back to work." Fuck you.
Well, and then also, too, the reason why they're really freaking out is because I guess this eviction moratorium is about to end. So there's a lot of people that are probably going to get kicked out of their apartments or whatever. And I don't care what your opinion is. A lot of them have animals and they don't have anywhere to go with them. So where do you think they're going to take them?
Anyway. put my goldfish? Kept me alone company in my apartment during the pandemic. I guess I'll dump it in. No, I'll flush it down the toilet.
Let's throw it in the pot. You saw those big ass goldfish. Where is that at? In what state were they've been putting goldfish? And they're like, look like koi.
Yeah, they're like 3 feet long. They're huge fish.
Aren't the fucking goldfish or just carp, right? Or a version of carp.
Well, they grow based off the size of their surroundings. So if you keep them in a bowl, they stay small. If they have no restrictions, yeah, they'll get the size of a big carp.
But when in the ocean, it'll be as big as an island. That is the end of episode 50 of season 6. Thank you all very, very much. Please make sure you're checking out our social media, facebook.com/Radio Labyrinth. Where also you can go to the Radio Shack. We are on YouTube if you're listening. YouTube.com/Radio Labyrinth Podcast. When you're there, like us and subscribe and all that jazz. Share with your friends. And we are on Twitter @Radio_Labyrinth. Also, we have two Instagram pages. One is just general stuff, and the other one is for Radio Labyrinth Presents. So you can find all those links and everything in the show notes. Please, if you would like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews, and we will be with you again next week. And until that time, please remember to keep it canon. All right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, you know, in a couple months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up and you get yourself a T-shirt, and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
Days to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016, and Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll, and then he gave it to me, and I think it's fun. And I can't wait to scare my child with it. Okay. All right, by the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm at the division. You got Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew, Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS, and he had it put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so he can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ, Spit of the Hits, for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely has been around since November of 2019, and you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018, and Buck Monterey been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
patreon.com/TimAndrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And now back to baby stuff.
Please hang up and try again.